This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brother Sahil from Nigeria emails, and mashallah, Nigeria, I have so many good friends from Nigeria. Baraka Daini from me, or maybe you're watching it, I should say, in Akwana, I should say, maybe. I don't know what time is it over there. But Brother Sahil asks about a custom prevalent in Nigeria, and let me add in other places besides Nigeria as well, that he says that he is accustomed to standing up every time an elder enters the room. And also, if a tribal leader comes in, also to come down and to touch the feet of the person. And he is asking that, is this something that the Sharia allows, to stand up or to bow down and touch the feet of the person? Is it allowed to do this or not? What is the ruling of the Sharia on this?
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Now, because alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, yani so many different people watch these videos, that we actually have to take a step back sometimes and wonder, or explain, I should say, to our audience, why is it that we are even asking such questions? Because people who are not familiar with our faith, or people who are just beginning to practice Islam, they don't quite understand the motivation for such a question. For many people, it seems utterly inconsequential and trivial. And the response to this is that, the notion that we're worried about here is extreme veneration. Just like anybody would understand, anybody of any faith background would understand, that a person who believes in one God would not want to fall into prostration in front of an idol. So they would understand that that is a veneration that they don't want to do. So too, we have to ask ourselves, what constitutes a veneration that becomes problematic, you know? And from problematic, where does it become, you know, actually into idolatry? That's, of course, a longer discussion. Of course, it will only become idolatry or shirk or paganism if you intend to worship that entity. But there are certain actions, even if you don't intend to worship that entity, you should not do them for that entity or being. So this is really the reason why we're discussing this, is that is it permissible to show respect in this manner? Of course, we show respect to our elders in a way that the Sharia allows, with good language, with good wording, with good manners. This is the ultimate respect, with controlling our tongue, without uttering any negative word in front of them or insulting them. We show respect in our treatment and ihsan. And yes, even in our physical demeanor, to sit with decorum and to sit in front of your mother or your father with an element of respect, the way that society allows, definitely it is a part of our Sharia. But then the question rises, where does it cross the line into that gray area or that danger zone, or crossing into the yellow light, we should say, because the red light of shirk will not occur unless you are intending to worship or deify, which of course will not happen with your elders and whatnot. But I'm saying, still there is a gray area that we would not want to do. So the question arises that are these two aspects, standing up when somebody comes, and also bowing down and touching the feet. Okay, these are the two things we'll discuss, and they are actually two separate discussions. So our brother asked them together. We're going to have to answer part one and then part two. So the reason why this question arises of standing up is because quite a number of scholars have discussed the hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is reported in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi. Man ahabba, that whoever likes that the people should stand up, qiyaman lahu, to stand up for him, falyatabawwa maq'adahu minan nar, then he might as well prepare himself for the fire of hell. Whoever loves that the people stand up for him, that person, he might as well be prepared to be punished by Allah. That is a sin or a crime. This is what the hadith says. Now, what is the sin or crime? Is the sin or crime standing up? Or is the sin or crime having that arrogance that you expect people to stand up? You see, that's the key point here. That what is prohibited? Is the prohibition other people standing out of respect? Or is the prohibition the person in his heart thinking, I am worthy, everybody should stand up when I come into the room? This is the question here. And the response to this, how do we know? We look at other incidents in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we see what he himself did, and we see what he told the companions to do. So it is quite clear from the seerah that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself stood up a number of times to greet particular people that he loved immensely, especially his family members. And in fact, these narrations have been compiled by the famous Imam An-Nawawi. You know, you've all heard of Imam An-Nawawi, the one who wrote Riyadh al-Salihin and the one who wrote the 40 Hadith of Nawawi. He wrote an entire treatise, it's a small booklet, called Risalatu At-Tarkhisi Bil-Qiyami Lidawil Fadli, the Risala, the epistle of the permissibility of standing up for the people of honor and respect. We already know his opinion, therefore, that if the person is worthy of honor, your father, a sheikh, an elderly person, when they come into the room, Imam An-Nawawi is saying that he entitled his treatise, the permissibility of standing up for the person of fadl, the person of honor. And he mentions in this treatise, it's a small treatise, it's available in Arabic, not in English, he mentions in this treatise a number of incidents. Of them, reported in Sunan Abi Dawood, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting one day when his foster mother and foster father, and that is Halima al-Sa'diyya and her husband, that they came to visit. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up to greet them, and he gave his own cloak for them to sit on. Okay, so his foster mother and his foster father. And this is, of course, you know, the incident when Amina gave the Prophet ﷺ to be reared by the Banu Sa'd. And so the foster mother Halima and the foster father of the Prophet ﷺ, they raised him for a few years. And that is when the incident of the shaqq, of the sadr, of the splitting of the heart occurred, that the Prophet ﷺ's heart was opened up and cleansed. Now, the fact of the matter, of course, is that here he stood up to greet them, and he gave his own cloak to put as something for them to sit on as an honor to them. And this is a great honor because they are, in the end of the day, his foster mother and foster father. And of course, the Sharia encourages us to show respect to our foster parents as well. Fostering, of course, means that our mother Halima breastfed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so that foster lineage was established. We also have the story of Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, that when Ikrimah fled from the conquest of Mecca, he then changed his mind and he returned back to Mecca expecting Allah to forgive him and expecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to forgive him. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the haram, and when he saw Ikrimah, because of course Ikrimah, you know, yes, he has a very negative past and he has a long list of what he has done, but in the end of the day, his lineage and his status is one of the highest of the Quraysh, right? So Abu Jahl is his father. And you all know, we all despise Abu Jahl, but the Quraysh loved him and he was their leader. And so Ikrimah has now taken on that status. So for Ikrimah to embrace Islam and for Ikrimah to come back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a great honor for the Ummah, and it will bring other hearts into Islam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him, wathaba ilayhi farhan, he stood up in happiness to greet him coming. So this is Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl. The Prophet ﷺ stood up to greet him. And also in the famous incident of the Battle of Khaybar, when Ja'far ibn Abi Talib came after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was camped in Khaybar for an entire month almost, and he eventually conquered the entire lands of Khaybar, that when on the day of the conquest of Khaybar, on that same day, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib made his way to Medina and then made his way to Khaybar to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so when the Prophet, and Ja'far of course is his cousin, and of course, you know, they are raised together in the same household, remember, the Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, and Ja'far was much closer in age To the Prophet ﷺ than Ali. So Ali, of course, was a child, you know, compared to the Prophet ﷺ. Ja'far is much closer in age, and so the Prophet ﷺ and him are, of course, first cousins, and they are raised in the same household like brothers. And of course, our Prophet ﷺ loved Ja'far immensely, and he hadn't seen Ja'far for 7 years. He had not seen Ja'far for 7 years since he migrated to Abyssinia. Now he's come back to Medina, and then he moves up to Khaybar to meet the Prophet ﷺ, and then our Prophet ﷺ Our Prophet ﷺ stood up to greet Ja'far, and he kissed Ja'far, and he said, "I don't know what is making me happier today, the conquest of Khaybar or the return of Ja'far. I don't know which of the two I am happier for. That I've conquered Khaybar today, but Ja'far has come back. And the entire lands of Khaybar and that one person, Ja'far, I don't know which of the two is making me happier." But the point is that he stood up to greet him. And we also have in the Sunan of Abu Dawood that once Zayd ibn Haritha visited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he returned from a journey. And of course, Zayd ibn Haritha is, of course, the quote-unquote adopted son. Remember the story that in the days of Jahiliyyah, Zayd was adopted, and then of course Allah revealed that there is no adoption. But the point is that the love was there like a son, and Zayd has been raised in his household. So when after a journey, Zayd came back. Aisha narrates that Zayd entered into my house, and فَقَامَ إِلَيْهِ فَاعْتَنَقَهُ وَقَبَّلَهُ. The Prophet stood up and hugged him and kissed him. Stood up and hugged him and kissed him. And in the famous incident of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, when the tahkim, or when the arbitration was taking place after the battle of the Khandaq, when Sa'd came on a donkey and he was sick and he was bleeding, and his people were waiting there, and he's coming with difficulty, and he just gets to Khaybar, Khandaq. Our Prophet said to his tribe, "Qumu ila sayyidikum," stand up to greet your leader. He literally said, "Qumu," stand up to greet your leader. Don't just sit there. He's come tired. He was literally on his deathbed. Of course, the Sahaba did not know. They were hoping he would recover, but he was deathly sick, and he was bleeding, and the wounds were there, and he's so tired, and he's coming with great difficulty, and the people are just sitting there. And the Prophet said, "Stand up, he's your leader." He was the leader, right, of the Ansar. So the Prophet told them to stand up. And commenting on this, Al-Khattabi said that this shows us that it is not makruh to stand up for a person who is a leader, who is a person of respect. And so this is the position of basically the vast majority of scholars. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he writes that if it is from the custom and the culture of the people that they stand up to greet somebody who is coming in, and if this standing were not done, the person would think that this is an intentional insult, then in this case, it is al-aslah, it is the wiser and better thing to do, that one stands up so that no evil or no bad idea comes into the minds of the people. So this is basically the vast majority of scholars, they say it is permissible to stand up. Then how do we understand the hadith? Because the hadith seems to be pretty clear that our Prophet ﷺ said, whoever loves that people stand up for him, let him be prepared to face the punishment of Allah and the fire of hell. How does one understand this hadith? Well, there are multiple interpretations of this hadith. Of them is that what the Prophet ﷺ is forbidding is the culture of the Romans and others, that when the king comes in, the others are not allowed to sit down. So this is not the action of standing and greeting and then everybody sits down. This is the pagan custom, which was common in Roman lands and in other lands, that when the king is sitting, no one is allowed to sit in his presence, and only he can sit. So this is one opinion. Another opinion is that the sin and the prohibition is upon the one who feels arrogance. So he's happy that everybody's standing, for me. And the Prophet is telling him, no, don't feel that sense of arrogance or pride. The one he expects the people, that's the key point here, because the hadith is man ahabba, whoever loves that the people all stand up for him. So he's craving attention. And of course, this is an element of narcissism. And then some of the scholars have said that this hadith is a threat to those people who do not deserve it. So these are the evil tyrants. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ is talking talking about. He's not talking about the righteous people, because his own actions demonstrated that we do stand up for righteous people. So the point is that there's plenty of evidence to suggest that to stand up when somebody comes into the room and to greet them and to kiss them, all of this is completely permissible, and there is no problem in this, as long as we said, that it is not a notion that you stay standing and the person is sitting as a matter of, you know, as a matter of, let's say, enforced cultural virtue, if you like. That if it's something that is enforced by social norms, that with this person, and this would only apply to a king or a tribal leader, that if that is the case, then we need to get rid of that practice, because that is something that clearly the Sharia, you know, the Prophet ﷺ would sit and the Sahaba would sit. That's not something like there's an issue there. So there is clearly, therefore, precedence in justifying and allowing one to stand up when an elder enters the room, when a scholar enters the room, when a leader enters the room, when a parent enters the room. No problem. Anybody, you know, who deserves that. But the hadith applies either to those who don't deserve it, or to the one who is arrogant and loves it, you know, or to the one who remains standing when the people, who remains sitting down when everybody else is standing up, and Allah knows best. Now that's part number one. Part number two, he says that the custom of bowing down to touching the feet. Now he's not asking about sajda. He's not saying putting the head on the ground. He is saying we touch the feet, and in the process, our heads come down. Now with regards to this issue, we say that the Sharia has forbidden the lowering of the head as a matter of respect to any human being. It was allowed in the previous Sharia, as we know from the story of Ya'qub and Yusuf, and as we know from the story of the angels and Adam alayhi salam, that they all bowed down, right? So to lower the head to another creation was something that the previous Sharia allowed. And lowering the head includes ruku' and it includes sujood. It was allowed in the previous generations to do that as a matter of, you know, as a matter of showing respect to the other person. And it remains in Western culture, you know, that you would bow down to the king or queen, or, you know, in Western culture, you know, the man would bow down to the lady as a respect, like I'm showing you respect. So that notion remains in the Western culture very slightly. It's almost gone now. But in our religion, in our Sharia, this has been abrogated. We do not lower our head intentionally. The goal of lowering the head, the niyyah of lowering the head, is not something allowed. And this is something that is pretty much unanimously agreed upon in the Sharia. Ibn Taymiyyah says, أَجْمَعَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ. There is ijma' of the Muslims that to prostrate to other than Allah is haram. We do not prostrate to other than Allah. Now obviously, if you prostrated with the intention of worship, this is shirk. If you prostrate, أعوذ بالله, to a false god, an idol, and you want to please that idol, this is major shirk. But if you lower your head out of respect to another human being, this is not shirk, but it is haram. We do not do this. And this is something that is explicit in the Sharia, because there are a number of traditions in this regard. Mu'adh ibn Jabal's narration as well, that when he came back from the Syrian lands, he fell down in sajda in front of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ said, do not do this. It is not allowed for a makhluq to do sajda to another makhluq. It is not allowed for a creation to do sajda to another creation. Sajda is only done to Allah. That Allah says in the Quran, لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرِ وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ. Do not prostrate to the sun, and do not prostrate to the moon, and prostrate to Allah Azza wa Jal, who created them. Now, the word sajda primarily implies putting the face right onto the floor. And that is the highest form of submission, that you demonstrate submission. However, technically, from a purely linguistic point, to bow the head down is also a type of sajda. And therefore, when Allah says, do not do sajda to anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore this includes any bowing down. Now, what if somebody says that, how come we're allowed to stand and not do and not to kiss the feet or to touch the feet? We say this is what the Sharia has come with. And we go to the Sharia to say what is too extreme veneration and what is permissible veneration. And the Sharia has allowed showing respect and showing honor by standing up when your father comes in, by standing up when a loved one comes in. And the Sharia has not allowed us to bow our head down. Now, what if somebody were to say that Okay, but how about if I'm, my mother's coming in on the wheelchair and I want to kiss her? Is this something that is allowed? We say here, kissing an elderly person on the forehead, let's say, okay, this would be permissible, or on the hand, this would be permissible because the goal is the kissing and not the bowing of the head. Whereas when you touch somebody's feet, there is no other purpose than to lower your head in front of the person. So we look at the goal of this act, that, you know, if it so happened that, you know, your mother was taller than you, let's say, where your grandmother, your grandfather's coming in, you would kiss and you would stand up and kiss his forehead, right? So the goal is not to lower your head, the goal is to kiss the forehead in some cultures, by the way. So again, maybe I should clarify, I have an international audience in many cultures of the world, especially Eastern cultures, kissing the forehead of your elderly relatives and parents, it is of the highest signs of respect. Kissing the forehead of a sheikh is a sign of respect that, you know, you are beloved to me and I respect and admire you. Now, kissing the forehead is permissible, and it is something that even in the seerah we come that the Prophet, you know, kissed Ja'far. So these are things that we come across that the seerah allows this and it is understood. But even if you have to bow down, I'm saying it is permissible, because when you bow down to kiss, the goal is not the lowering of the head. The goal is the kissing. So that which is done, unintentionally, that which is not intended directly is overlooked. You're not intending to bow the head down. You're intending to kiss. As for that which is done intentionally, that is what the Sharia is based on. And therefore, those who want to lower their heads in front of another person, we say to them, this practice is considered to be too extreme in the Sharia, and it is going into that gray area that the Sharia has. When I say gray area, I mean stepping stone to shirk. It is not gray, it is haram, it is forbidden. So when I say gray, don't think that I'm talking about ambiguous. I mean here that it is a stepping stone to shirk is what I'm saying, that you are venerating too much. And so the Sharia has put checks and balances and put barriers so that you do not go to this level. And so to conclude this question, it is completely permissible to stand up to greet an elder or to greet a leader or to greet somebody who's coming back from a journey. Anybody that you want to greet, you stand up to greet them and then you all sit down, no problem. It is, however, not permissible to touch the feet of the person as a token of respect, because that is a level of veneration that the Sharia has drawn the line at, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
وحملته في فلكك المشحون يا من أحال النار حول خليله روحا وريحانا بقولك كون